Welcome to the teaching ministry of Daybreak Community Church. They invite you to join them for worship at 10 a.m. Sunday morning at 342 Nold Avenue in downtown Worcester. More information is at dccworcester.org. Here's Pastor Richard Frazier bringing real hope to real people from Daybreak Community Church.
Good morning, my friends. I'm Pastor Richard Frazier from Daybreak Community Church in downtown Worcester. We're glad you could join us here on 104.5 The River. Before we jump into today's special message, let us prepare our hearts for the reading of today's scripture.
Good morning, Daybreak. Today, our message is coming from Acts chapter 2. And in the ESV, it titles this section, The Coming of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 12. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mockingly said, "They are filled with new wine." Amen. That is the reading of God's word.
Thank you, Bobby, for the reading of God's word. Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me start this morning by saying John Wimber was a product of the Jesus movement in the 1960s. He met Christ in a dramatic way and began reading the New Testament, beginning with the Gospels and then on to the book of Acts. He was excited about what he was reading, but when he went to a church, he was disillusioned. The polite and tidy service was over exactly on time. Wimber looked at some of the people around him and said, "When are you going to do the stuff?" "What stuff?" they wanted to know. He said, "You know, the stuff." He had been reading about the conversions, the healings, the deliverances, and other miracles that took place in the early church recorded in the book of Acts. But instead of signs and wonders, he saw no signs of anything that would make him wonder, except the deadness of the ritual he had just sat through. As I continue on this morning with our study through Acts, I am seeing again that signs and wonders were not the exceptions, they were the norm of the early church. Healings and supernatural happenings were expected and happened regularly. Now, some explain this by saying we are living in a different time and that the age of miracles is over. Really? Does God really divide history up into neat little segments where he acts one way with one generation and a totally different way with another? If so, then God is not the same yesterday and today and forever, as it says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. If he does respond differently at different times, then he is one kind of God at one point in history and an entirely different God at another. The church today needs to discover once again that we have an unchanging God and an unchanging kingdom. We need once again to discover the power of Pentecost. We need to become a Pentecostal church. And I'm not talking about the denomination. I'm talking about becoming an Acts 2 church. We need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to be operating in the gifts of the Spirit. We need to see people's lives turned around. We need to see people healed physically, emotionally, relationally, socially, and spiritually. We need to experience the unity of the Spirit as the early church did. We need to be living in genuine love for each other. And when we fail at that, then we need to seek reconciliation. We need to have the fire fall and the people of God to rise up. A pastor once said, when God sends forth the Spirit, amazing things happen. Barriers are broken. Communities are formed. Opposites are reconciled. Unity is established. Disease is cured. Addiction is broken. Cities are renewed. Races are reconciled. Hope is established. People are blessed, and church happens. Today, the Spirit of God is present, and we're going to have church. So be ready. Get ready. God is up to something. Discouraged folks, cheer up. Dishonest folks, fess up. Sour folks, sweeten up. Closed folks, open up. Gossipers, shut up. Conflicted folks, make up. Sleeping folks, wake up. Lukewarm folks, fire up. Dry bones, shake up. And pew potatoes, stand up. But most of all, Christ, the Savior of all the world, is lifted up. Can I get an amen? Amen. If that is going to happen in our church, certain conditions need to be met and certain perceptions need to be changed. We need a major paradigm shift. First of all, Pentecostal power comes when you realize the Christian life is not about keeping rules, but about knowing Christ. It's not about keeping rules. It's about knowing Christ. As I was a teenager in the church, I heard a lot about being nice and how important it was to be a good person. We were told to be kind and to love everyone. In that church, everyone dressed their best and acted their best on Sunday. The service was predictable and formal. Don't get me wrong. The Bible was read and the preacher said all the right things, I'm sure. I'm sure the words of the responsive readings were meaningful, but they seemed like they came from another time and place. As far as I knew, Christianity was about keeping the rules and being a good person. In churches all across the United States, the gospel being good is being preached. In some places, it is translated as becoming politically active for social causes, or at least becoming concerned. In still other places, the measure of a person's Christianity is in how tolerant or inclusive they are in their acceptance of other people and their ideas. For example, the hot topic right now is transgender. You see, until we renew our commitment to preaching that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him, we will not experience the presence of the Holy Spirit or know the zeal of the early church. Until the people who call themselves the people of God renew their commitment to knowing Christ on a daily basis and living faithfully for him, we will not experience the power of Pentecost. Until we live by repentance and faith, we will always be going through the motions of religion without knowing the person of Jesus Christ. As long as we think that Christianity is something that we do, we are missing the point. I'm going to hit you with some spiritual knowledge. You ready? It is not about what we do, but what God does in us. Being a Christian is not doing the right thing or believing the right doctrines. It is knowing the right person. It is not about being a member of the church or reciting creeds. It's not about baptism or communion, although those are important parts of our life together. Being a Christian is about surrendering my life, my body, my mind, and my heart to Jesus Christ and asking him to take up residence in me. It is about confessing my sin and turning from it. It is about banking everything I have and trusting in God and loving him with my whole heart. The Christian faith is not a feeling. It is a reality. It is a real relationship with a real person, Jesus Christ. Christianity is about the most powerful and wonderful person in the universe who desires to know us intimately. This experience is not tame. It is wild and it is powerful. Paul said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Do you want to experience that power? Do you? That's a question to ponder. The second point I would like to make is that Pentecostal power comes when you realize the Christian life is not just about salvation, but transformation. There are many churches which are very different from the one in which I grew up. They faithfully preach about salvation and the necessity of new birth. In fact, that is what you hear from me almost every Sunday. The scripture changes, but the message is basically the same. You need to be born again. And that is as far as it goes. Now, don't get me wrong. It is a necessary first step. But if our faith only consists of a single event where we repented of our sin and came to Christ, then it is an incomplete faith. What if a baby was born and we all celebrated the new life, but the baby never took in nourishment, was never nurtured, never grew, never developed? As wonderful as its birth was, the baby would not survive. If you think that the Christian life is only about being born again, you better think again. It is not just about salvation. It is about transformation. To hear some people talk, you would think that once we come to Christ, we just wait around to go to heaven. We're just putting in the time until Jesus comes. If that's the way we think, we will never, ever experience Pentecostal power. We will never understand that Jesus Christ has come to establish his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And we are his agents through whom he works to make that happen. We are to grow in holiness and be salt and light in a tasteless and dark world. We are to become transformed on a daily basis through the spiritual disciplines and then become agents of transformation in this world. It's sort of like this. You can take 10 gallons of gasoline and release a tremendous amount of power and energy by just dropping a lighted match into it, right? It makes a dramatic one-time impact. But there's another way to release the energy in that gasoline. Place it in the fuel tank of a new hybrid car designed to get 40-plus miles to the gallon. The high-tech engine will use that 10 gallons of gasoline to take a person 400 miles or more. Explosions may be spectacular, but the sustained, controlled burn has staying power. You don't want to be a flash in the pan. You want to make a difference in this world over time. You want to last for the long haul. You don't want the Holy Spirit to just save you for heaven. You want him to use his power to transform your life. You want him to use you in this world for kingdom purposes. The kingdom is not far away in time and space. It is here. It is now. And to be a member of this kingdom, you need the power of the Holy Spirit operating in your life every single day. The Apostle John in the book of Revelation talks about all the things we have to go through in this world. And it says, he says, this calls for a patient endurance on the part of the saint who obeyed God's commandments and remains faithful to Jesus. Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. Now, the third point I would like to make this morning is that Pentecostal power comes when you overcome apathy with zeal. The Pentecostal power comes when you overcome apathy with zeal. That means to replace the same old blah with focused passion. You can't try to be good and think that you are a Christian. You cannot just point to a past experience of being born again and say that you are a Christian. You have to grow. You have to want to be transformed into the image of Christ and want to be made like him. You can't be apathetic toward the things of God and his kingdom and experience Pentecostal power. A true transformation results in a transformation of the heart that loves God and desires to know him better every day. When we are delivered from the bondage of sin and ushered into the kingdom of God, where there is freedom, we delight in the things of God. The more you know God, the more you will love him and the more excited you will be about his kingdom. The more you love him, the more you will want others to know him. The more you experience his presence and power, the more of it you want. This is the way to live, my brothers and sisters. We have been forgiven. We have inherited eternal life. We have experienced eternal love. We are holding nothing back because we have discovered life. We have found the pearl of great price, and it is worth more than everything else we have seen or possessed. Because of this, we are excited about life, and we are excited about the wonderful God we serve. We are willing to do whatever it takes to have more of Him. Now, many of you have heard or read about the 27-year-old Aaron Ralston, who had his right arm pinned by an 800-pound boulder in a climbing accident. The movie that came out, well, it's probably been about 10 years ago, 127 Hours, was based on this incident. He had gone hiking in Blue John Canyon, adjacent to Utah's Canyonlands National Park. He was an experienced climber, for he had already climbed 49 other peaks in Colorado, which were over 14,000 feet. He thought about what it would be like to die on the mountain, have his family find his body, or perhaps never know his fate. Ralston, a former engineer for Intel and an avid outdoorsman, thought about his options. After 5 days of being pinned and having run out of food and water, he decided to apply a tourniquet and amputate his arm below the elbow with his pocket knife. He then rigged anchors and rappelled to the canyon floor with one good arm. He walked downstream until he was spotted by a Utah public safety helicopter. What the news and the movie did not say much about was that this Phi Beta Kappa graduate of Carnegie Mellon University credits his faith in God for ability to do what he had to do. He is a deeply committed Christian who often plays the piano in United Methodist Church in Greenwood Village near Denver, Colorado. Because Aaron wanted to live, he was willing to cut away everything that was holding him back. Think about that. Because he wanted to live, he was willing to cut away everything that was holding him back. It is that kind of commitment and zeal that will enable us to experience Pentecostal power. When you are willing to cut away everything that is holding you back and walk out of the canyon of bondage, then the Holy Spirit will come to you in new ways, and you know a life that you did not know was possible. The Bible says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. The Apostle Paul did this, for he wrote, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Are you ready to press onward for the prize that Paul is talking about here, an eternal life in heaven? If so, we, this church, needs to experience Pentecostal power. To do that, all we need to do is realize these three things, and we will experience that power the early church experienced. First, Christianity is not about keeping rules. It is about knowing Christ. Second, the Christian life is not just about salvation, but about transformation. And number three, you need to overcome apathy with zeal. You know, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, and all the world pauses to celebrate Christmas with us. We celebrate his resurrection, and most of the world recognizes Easter as a very special day on the calendar. But 2 months ago, it's Pentecost, and hardly anyone realized it. Yet this day is important because Pentecost is the birthday of the church, and God has given us the wonderful opportunity of being a part of it. Amen? Amen. If you need prayer this morning, either come up during the song of reflection or see me after church. Either way, the most important thing is to follow God's calling on your life. Let us reflect upon his message, and God bless you. I personally want to say thank you for listening to today's message. I pray that the message challenged you and blessed you. Daybreak Community Church is a non-denominational church located at 342 Nold Avenue in downtown Worcester, and Sunday morning services are at 10 a.m. in person and on 104.5 The River. It is such a blessing for me to share God's truth with you each and every week. If you'd like to donate to our ministry, you can now do that online at dccworcester.org. That's dccworcester.org. Daybreak Community Church, dccworcester.org. All gifts are completely tax exempt and most definitely appreciated. Again, thank you all for taking the time to listen today, and thank you for supporting our ministry. God bless you.